Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a'a here in studio for Danny Yamashiro, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to the Good Life Radio Show. We are here to unleash your God-given purpose. George Bernard Shaw once said, "A miracle is an event which creates faith." That is the purpose and the nature of miracles. Our guest today, Kathleen Bimal Cruz, will share the evidence of the truth of Shaw's words. Before we start, we'd like to pause and remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show. It is to lead you to Jesus Christ, for there is always hope in Him. No matter what you are going through today, He is there. He died for you, He died for me, and He died for all our sins. He shed His blood on the cross, He was buried. But we believe He was raised on the third day, and today He is calling you, and we pray that you will receive His call. Kathleen Bimal Cruz was a decorated track star out of Kentucky and went on to be a collegiate Hall of Fame runner. She transferred to the University of Hawaii and taught at McKinley and Punahou schools. Kathleen currently lives on a farm in Lincoln City, Indiana, where they raise heritage breed cattle and grain. She is married to Michael Cruz and has two children, Sienna and Kenton, both Division I college student athletes. Kathleen, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's a blessing to be here.
Welcome back to Hawaii.
Thank you.
Oh, we wish
land,
we could
land
have
of aloha
you in.
Always.
Yes. I think some of our guests will definitely remember you and your name and the impact you made in on our islands, the many things that you did. But let's kind of start where you started. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Owensboro, Kentucky. It is in the southwestern part of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So it was a nice small town, about 50,000, but very supportive of me before my injury and after. Mm-hmm. So I'm super proud of where I came from.
Mm-hmm. And who would you say in your growing up years, who would you say was your greatest influence?
That is a really tough question. In my growing up years, I probably didn't know it at the time, but I would say my dad taught me tenacity and my mom taught me to believe in miracles. So that's pretty inspirational.
And when did you become a Christian? When did you give your life to Jesus?
You know, I'm not sure that I know the exact moment. I just remember when I started running, when I became an athlete, I was in sixth grade and I was younger than everybody else. And I was way smaller. I was a late bloomer. And so I knew that I was going to have to work super hard to, you know, be successful in my sport. But I knew that that wasn't going to be enough and that I was going to need to also lean on my faith. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when I really knew that I needed Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Now, had you grown up in the church or was your family a part of a church?
My mom went to Catholic schools her whole life, and I grew up in the Catholic Church. My dad is a believer, but not a churchgoer. And so it was a thing that it was a choice for us every Sunday, whether or not we wanted to go to church. And my mom and I, and usually at least one of my sisters, would walk, and we would walk to church on Sundays. And then, of course, whenever I got old enough to drive, then it was a choice of whether I wanted to go by myself, and I did. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to Hawaii is when I really decided that I was more non-denominational than I was Catholic, and I started attending, and Suzanne Maurer was a very big part of that, helping me to see that I was more non-denominational. And she
Lord.
Also, yeah, and she also taught me to include praise in my prayers. Mm. I didn't really know how to do that before I became friends with her, and she became my prayer partner. So that was a huge step in my in my faith.
So growing up, I know I read a lot about your high school sports accomplishments. Tell us a little bit about that. Tell our audience a little bit about
that.
Yeah,
it's you know, it's kind of embarrassing because you feel like you're bragging, but I think in the long run, it's important for people to understand what I really did lose whenever I had my injury. So when I was in ninth grade, I won the Kentucky State Championship in cross country, and then again the mile and the half mile in track. And then before I graduated, I wound up with 10 Kentucky State Championships and some Kentucky State records.
I read that you were the first female four-time state champion in cross country.
That is correct.
Wow, wow! What kind of commitment did that take?
Yeah, well, I'm a believer in God helps those who help themselves, and I felt like I said, I learned tenacity and the belief in miracles. And so every day before school, I would run, and then in the afternoon, I'd run with the boys' team, and then on weekends, I would put in 8 to 12 miles a day.
Wow.
So I had a really good foundation, and then sometimes I would go in the fall or preparing for the fall, I would go and find the steepest hill I could find and just run hill repeats on my own. Wow. And so, you know, it was a lot of hard work, but I think hard work pays off, and it was worth it.
When you said that, I think it was your father who taught you tenacity?
Yes.
How did that look? How did he teach that to you?
He grew up as a sharecropper, very poor. He did two tours in Korea. He was in a foxhole being shot at when he was 18.
Oh.
He used the military bootstraps, they called it, to go to college. His father went to fourth grade, and his mother went to sixth grade, and he's a PhD.
Wow.
So he, you know, he worked hard also. So I think hard work was something that I definitely learned from my dad.
And when you came to know Jesus, what difference has he made in your life?
Well, really just, I think, being grateful for what you do have. So like, I'm one of few people who is thankful that I can see and think and breathe and smell and speak, because those are things that I use every day, where, you know, walking is very difficult for me, and some people just take walking for granted as well as all those other things. But also, I think being a Christian and knowing Christ has taught me to be kind to others and to believe in miracles. My faith is extremely strong, and I think that helps me know that anything is possible with God.
As you were growing up in sports and in school, and what challenges did the Lord help you through during those high school years?
When I was a junior in high school, I had a really bad knee injury and had to sit out my track season of my junior year. And it was very difficult to sit out and, you know, watch and not be able to help my team and all of that. And I mean, I just, you know, I never, ever, ever, ever once prayed to win a race ever, but I did pray for healing, and I got it, and I ran my senior year, and I won the state again. So, you know, I just feel like I believe in miracles. I believe in healing, and I believe in prayer.
Yes.
That's amazing. So take us back to that time when you were in college, and question for you, because it seems intriguing to me that you were on a track scholarship, is that correct, at Western Kentucky University?
Yes.
And then the next year you were not. You were coming to the University of Hawaii.
That's correct. The knee injury resurfaced, and I took a leap of faith honest to goodness, took a leap of faith and went to Hawaii. And I tried out for the cheerleading team. And not only did I make it, but they chose me as captain. Wow. And my heart had been running for all those years, and suddenly cheerleading became my heart.
Now, so did you cheer in high school? I mean, what was the...
I cheered in middle school, but not in high school, because my school was... We had 352 kids in my class, which is a decent-sized school. And so we really weren't able to do two sports at once. And cheerleading would have... Football season would have overlapped with cross-country season. The indoor season overlapped with basketball season. And then, of course, you know, track season is in the... in the spring, but when you're a distance runner, you train year-round. Right. So it really wasn't an option for me to do both in high school. And at the time, I had much more of an opportunity to earn a scholarship for running than I did for cheerleading. There's not very many schools in the country had cheerleading scholarships. And when I first got the cheerleading scholarship at UH, it was under the band department. Since changed. It's since changed to, you know, athletics, but at the time it was under band.
And why Hawaii?
Well, my sister had gone out there as a dancer and had come back. And she had a positive experience. And I originally thought, well, maybe being in warm weather and, you know, exercising on the beach and, you know, swimming and doing some other things besides just pounding away on my knees, that I might be able to rehabilitate and get back into running. But like I said, I tried out for cheerleading and earned the scholarship, and I just loved it, absolutely loved it.
And what were some of the challenges that transition from Kentucky to Hawaii?
Oh, well, there were a few. First of all, the prices. Like, I remember, okay, this tells you how long ago it was. I remember I went into, you know, like a convenience store to get a snack one day, and Twinkies were 79 cents. I couldn't believe it. But, you know, it, that was one thing. Being far away from home, we were a close family. I mean, it was time to, you know, grow up a little bit. But we were a close family, and so being that far away was hard. The language, you know, as far as like the people who spoke Pidgin, that was a little difficult for me at first, but they also thought that I had a hugely thick Southern accent, which I had a little bit more accent at that time. But overall, the people were amazing. I have some awesome friends that I still stay in touch with all the time. And Hawaii was an absolute wonderful experience for me. I wouldn't change anything about it. Even though the injury happened there, I wouldn't change a thing.
Beautiful.
When you went to the University of Hawaii, I do want to talk a lot about how, you know, your injury and how you... how that happened and whatnot. We're going to take a quick break, so because I don't want to break in the middle of that story.
Okay.
We're here with Kathleen Bimal Cruz. She may be a recognized name. She's from Kentucky, track and field state champion, 10-time state champion since her freshman year. Quite an accomplishment. Also a 4-time cross-country champion, the first female state cross-country champion for 4 years in a row in the history of Kentucky. And then she came to Hawaii. Injury brought down her track and field future, but she decided to try something else, and it was cheerleading for our University of Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. We'll talk a lot more with Kathleen Bimal Cruz when we come back. Stay with us.
Walking the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha Lani Ka'a'a here in studio for Danny Yamashiro. I'm joined by Suzanne Maurer, my co-host. And we're here with Kathleen Bimal-Cruz. Before we continue our discussion, though, I just want to remind you that if you'd like to hear the program in its entirety, if you'd like the beginning to the end, maybe you missed the first segment, you can always go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can listen to it there, download it, and especially if God puts someone on your heart, you can share that message, send the link to somebody that God puts on your heart today as you listen to Kathleen's testimony. Kathleen Bimal-Cruz was a 10-time state champion in track and field, the first female 4-time state cross-country champion. She might be a familiar name to our Hawaii audience. She was a decorated athlete out of Western Kentucky University and then changed her life course and came to Hawaii and became a University of Hawaii cheerleader. You know, I don't know if all our audience understands this, but it's quite impressive and fun to be a University of Hawaii cheerleader. University of Hawaii Rainbows, back in the day, were the biggest game in town, filling the Aloha Stadium. And I know when I used to go, I would watch the game half the time, and I'd watch the cheerleaders most of the time. What was it like? What was it like to be a University of Hawaii cheerleader?
It was amazing. It really was. The Aloha Stadium, you know, would hold 50,000 people, and generally, the stands were full. The fans were amazing. They would bounce beach balls and cheer with us. Mm-hmm. And the entire stadium would say, "Rain, balls." And it, you know, I mean, just those memories are just amazing. And people would wave to us when we ran around the stadium. People would wave to us like we were friends of theirs. And you know, I felt like the cheerleaders got almost as much support as the players.
I think you were quite a rock star on and off campus. definitely.
Well, it was a lot of fun for sure.
On the flip side, what kind of work, what kind of commitment did it take to be a University of Hawaii cheerleader?
Yeah, when I was there, my cheerleading scholarship covered my tuition, but of course, there were a lot of other expenses. And so I went to school during the day, and then I had a job in the band office. So I worked 3 hours in the band office every afternoon, and then I went to cheerleading practice. And so, you know, it was a 5 or 6 day a week commitment.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun. It was always fun. Mm-hmm. It was, there was choreography and motions to make up. Mm-hmm. There was, stunts to learn. There were just, camaraderie, and, it was really a fun time.
Mm. Contrast that, track and field athlete to University of Hawaii cheerleader.
Okay. Well, when you are an athlete in an individualized sport like track and cross country, let's take cross country, for instance. When you put your toe on the line, every other toe on that line wants to beat you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in a race of 200 girls, 199 girls want to beat you. But whenever you're a cheerleader, it's a team where you must work together.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has to be synchronized. Everyone has to jump at the same time or put their right arm out at the same time. And so you're constantly working together instead of working against.
Mm-hmm. Such an important lesson. And I think, you know, when you are on a team, in a team sport, it's such a great place to learn these kinds of character building lessons. What are some of the greatest victory moments that you remember?
Of being a cheerleader?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we did a lot of neat different kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we were in the public doing some kind of public service. Sometimes we were performing at halftime. Sometimes we were leading those big rainbows cheers.
Mm.
One time we even cheered at a baseball game, and they did not like it. They told us to get off of the field. The fans, you know, they didn't need cheerleaders at the baseball game. But it started to rain, and we had been handing out like posters, like, you know, how they have posters of mm-hmm. the schedule, the upcoming season or whatever. And we had quite a few left over, and so nobody was taking them at the end of the game. And so I was saying, here, rain shield, and then they were going like crazy. So, you know, there were all kinds of different experiences.
Mm-hmm. What difficulties did the Lord help you through during that time?
I'd say the most difficult time came when I had my injury.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, I didn't feel like I had very many difficulties, except when I tried out the second time, when I tried out for the next coming season, I actually kicked my partner in the face.
Oh.
So it was a dance move where he was supposed to squat down and I was doing a fan kick over him, but instead I whacked him right on the side of the head.
Wow.
So that wasn't very good.
I know you've talked a bit about that.
Anyway, so.
I hope he's okay.
Yes.
I know you've talked a little bit and mentioned your injury, and I really want to spend mm-hmm. some time. Tell us what happened.
It was July 29th, and we were practicing for the cheerleading national competition in Dallas, and we were doing a stunt, and we always did it 3 times, you know, like, so you're sure you got it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the 3rd time, and it's called an accident because nobody knows exactly what happened. I fell from the pyramid, and I landed on my head. I was never unconscious, but immediately I was paralyzed from the shoulders down and had nerve burning above my shoulders, which was making tears swell up in my eyes. Mm-hmm. It was uncontrollable. It was just nerve burning like I'd never even known existed.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned to my teammates and I said, I need somebody to call my prayer partner.
Wow.
And you gave the phone number.
And I gave the phone number, and it was Suzanne Maurer's phone number, yeah.
Wow, I did not know that, Suzanne.
Well, if I remember correctly, and you correct me, sweetheart, but it's my remembrance that you rolled out on the floor, and you said, I can't feel my legs, I can't move my legs. Will someone please call Suzanne Maurer at 395-9527 and ask her to pray? And that's exactly what happened.
Right.
Wow.
So that is word for word.
You immediately brought prayer and God into it.
Wow.
That's awesome. Exactly word for word what actually happened.
And was the injury severe? What happened at that point?
Okay. I broke my neck in two places. Of course, I didn't know that at the time, but immediately I was paralyzed where I could not feel my legs or move my legs. They got the ambulance there, you know, it seemed like forever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the EMTs was kind of cute, and I couldn't remember whether I'd shaved my legs or not, and I couldn't feel
if
I had or not, but, you know, isn't that crazy? You're 20 years old or whatever, and you're worried about whether you shaved your legs. But anyway, when I landed on the mat, I felt like I had curled into a fetal position, and they put me in the ambulance, and I asked the paramedic if he would straighten my legs out, and he said, honey, your legs are straight.
Wow.
So then it really hit, like, you know, this is really serious. This is pretty bad.
Mm.
When I was in the emergency room, they decided that they poked me with pins all over, you know, below my, they drew a line, like right underneath my throat.
Mm.
And below that line, I couldn't feel any pin pokes or any hot or cold or any feeling at all. And they shaved the sides of my head and they put screws in my temples and put me into traction. But, it was not successful, and so then I had to have surgery.
Mm.
And that's when they found that I had broken C6 and C7, which is up, you know, in your neck, the cervical vertebrae.
Wow.
And they had to take a bone graft from my hip. They wired the vertebrae together because they were in pieces. And then they took the bone graft and they fused that area together. After that surgery, I still had no feeling and no movement.
I think I read somewhere that you were told that you were not going to walk again. Is that
the doctors? Yeah, the doctors came to see me, and he said, first he said, can you feed yourself? And they had this little cuff that they put on my hand. And in the little cuff, there was a little pocket, and you could stick a fork or a spoon into the pocket, and I could move my arm well enough from the plate to my mouth. So I said, yeah, I can feed myself. And he said, well, do you really think you're going to walk again? And I said, yes. And he said, well, you're not. You're never going to walk again, and if you ever do, it'll take a miracle.
Wow.
And so I said, okay, I'll take one.
Mm. Suzanne, were you part of it?
Excuse me just a minute, Lonnie. At what point did they tell you you'd never have children? Do you remember?
It was after I started walking, but because my so my healing kind of went, obviously I could move my arms before I could move my hands, and I could move my foot before I could move my legs, but my torso, my trunk, my abdominal area is super weak. So they didn't know whether I'd be able to hold the weight of a child, you know, they didn't know if I'd be able to have children.
Yeah.
So two more miracles.
Wow. Kathleen Bimel-Cruz, we're here with her today. What a story of a miracle. We're going to come back to that right after our break. Kathleen Bimel-Cruz, she was a cheerleader at the University of Hawaii in her second year of cheering on a scholarship, and at practice preparing for national championship, they did a pyramid. She was in the middle of the pyramid, and as they dismounted, she fell on her neck, broke her vertebrae and was told she would never walk again because she became paralyzed. What a story. But we're going to hear God's victory when we come back. I hope you'll stay with us. Kathleen is a miracle story of the Lord, and she has done amazing things with the life that God has given her.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Our guest today, Kathleen Bimal-Cruz. Again, might be a familiar name to Hawaii audience. In the mid-80s, Kathleen was a cheerleader at the University of Hawaii, and she suffered a tragic and difficult injury, finding herself paralyzed after an accident at one of the practices while preparing for nationals. But she became a miracle story. And I know earlier, Kathleen, you said you were a daughter of tenacity and the belief in miracles. How did the Lord, and how did that help you through this difficult time?
Well, I mean, again, I said I do believe in that saying. It's not necessarily biblical, but I do believe that the Lord helps those who help themselves. And so I prayed constantly, and you know, I didn't pray for a miracle. I said, God, I know you're going to let me walk. Mm-hmm. And I just had faith in his ability to make that happen for me. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I know you're going to do your part, and so I'm going to do mine. And so I did. I went in early for therapy, and I stayed late. And I practiced in my room, standing between my wheelchair and my desk. I'd lock my wheelchair and I'd try to press up with my arms to try to put weight on my legs. And when I went to the pool therapy, the first time I went, I couldn't move anything except, you know, my arms a little bit. And they put flotation devices under my neck. And, well, I started sinking down. I got water in my ears and I'm, get me out. I don't like it. And then when I felt like I was getting a little stronger, I asked to go back, and it was a different pool therapist. Mm-hmm. And so he says, what do they have you doing in the pool? And I said, oh, they have me standing on the side, practicing standing in the water. And he said, oh, okay. And so that's what I did. And it was a little bit of a fib, but I believed that it could happen, and it did. And I just feel like working hard and having the faith helped me walk again in November of 1984.
Wow. Suzanne, were you part of her prayer team? And
well, I was, and I'd love to share this part of the story because she has the most amazing parents. So we got her mom over here and got her a beautiful place to stay and a job so that she could stay. Of course, her dad had to stay behind. And again, Kathleen, correct me any place. But so we went to the games, and Kathleen was there. She'd go in a van. And so my daughter, Kathy, and son Steve would go over and sit with her, and Roland and I'd be on the other side. And this one particular game, Kathy came back and she said, "Mom, I have a note from Kathleen. It's important." And it said, "Promise me you'll be at homecoming." And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting because, yeah, we're going to be at homecoming. We're coming to all the games. But it just stuck with me. And so I talked to her mom, and her dad was scheduled to fly in the week after homecoming. And so I said, "Bobby, I really think Walt needs to be here. Let's get him here for homecoming. But we'll surprise Kathleen." Well, let me tell you who did the surprising. Kathleen wanted us there because she was going to do the coin toss. Mm. So with the sellout crowd, 50,000 people, that beautiful little rascal was not in a golf cart on the side of the field. She was standing there with her walker, and she walked out to do the coin toss. Wow. And the place just erupted. Mm. It was amazing. Mm. And then she went on to the other side of the field, and our little surprise worked real well because there was her daddy.
Kathleen.
And she didn't know he was there.
Oh, wow. Kathleen, share with us that plan, and how did that come about, and what'd you do?
Well, I'll tell you what, that was filmed by PM Magazine. It was filmed first by Hawaiian Moving Company, and PM Magazine bought it. And I still can't watch it.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
I still can't watch it. It was an awesome surprise because I definitely wanted my prayer partner there for me whenever I was going to attempt to walk across the field. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome to have my mom there, but I never thought my dad could be there because really my dad was the one who, he was kind of my athletic partner. He was the one who, you know, made sure I got to practice and got picked up from practice. And he's the one who went to all of my meets. And, you know, I think it was really, really hard on him to think that I was lying in a bed, not able to move at all. So for him to see it in real life, and it was pretty cool.
Wow. Wow.
It was a night of double surprises, huh, honey?
Yeah, it was.
And then were you able, when you're, I'm kind of speechless right now because I'm half crying myself. I apologize. and I wish that I was there. Your recovery since has gone well. How are you today?
Okay. Well, I would say ups and downs, mostly up after that. Mm-hmm. I did go back to college, and mm-hmm. I did walk across the stage to get my diploma.
Wow.
That was pretty awesome. When I first went back, I was using a cane, and one time I wiped out, and it was rough. I tripped on a little, like a root of a tree, and my books went everywhere. And I said, you know what? It's okay because I can get back up, because there was a time when I couldn't. So it was okay. Mm-hmm. And I got better. I worked out really hard at a gym, and I did a lot of walking, and I got a lot better. Mm-hmm. And I continued to exercise and strengthen my muscles and all of that. I was able to have 2 children 13 months apart from each other.
Wow.
And, chased them around and took them in stroller rides, et cetera. But, I'm in my mid-50s now, and just like everybody, I mean, I have to wear reading glasses, so my eyes are going a little bit.
Wow.
The muscles that I did improve, are seeing some deterioration. My walking has never been perfect, but to me, that was kind of an opening for people to say, you know, did you hurt your ankle or are you limping? And I say, yes, but it's a miracle that I'm walking at all. You know, I get the opportunity to say it because people can notice that there's something not perfect. So I feel like my walking is getting worse. I do therapy. I do exercise. I refuse to use implements, even though doctors and some family members want me to. And the neuro-ortho person said, you're probably having osteoporosis coming on because of your age and your walking is deteriorating and you really should use implements. And I said, why can't you be on my side? I may eventually have to go to that, but I'm toughing it out and being as stubborn as I can for now. So,
you know, I loved how you said that you're limping, which someone might call a disability, is actually an opportunity.
And exactly.
How many times we feel that a disability is something we should be ashamed of, but you've turned that around. Tell us what have you been able to talk to people about? What has your testimony been for others?
People sometimes say, gosh, you've had a rough life because, you know, I had to give up my running and then I had to give up my cheerleading. And of course, obviously, I was completely paralyzed. And they say, gosh, you've had a terrible life, and you're not going to believe this, but I always say, no, I have the good life.
That's why you're on
this
show.
I say that. I have the good life because, you know, I have a lot of pain. I have a headache every single day. But there was a time when I couldn't feel anything. I'll take pain. It's better than nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there, like I said, I mean, if I fall now, I can get up. It's not easy. But I can get up. There was a time when I couldn't. So to me, it's just looking at the miracle of not being in a wheelchair since 1984.
Wow. Yeah. Kathleen, do you have time to tell us real quickly how you met Michael?
Yes. I was the lead park ranger at the Lincoln Boyhood National Memorial, and he was the assistant manager at Lincoln State Park. So he was in the state and I was in the national side, but those two parks are located right across from each other. And he came in one day and he said, I think I got your mail by accident, meaning he got Lincoln National mail instead of Lincoln State mail, because we live in Lincoln City, which is where Abraham Lincoln grew up, and so there's two parks dedicated to the Lincoln boyhood years. And when he came in, I thought, oh my gosh, he is so cute. And I had seen him in church, and I thought he was cute. But then he came in, and I thought, oh my gosh, he is so cute. So I said, how old are you? And he told me. And he's 5.5 years younger than I am. So I thought, well, never mind. But he had seen me in church, and he had asked his mother about me, and he came in on purpose. He didn't have to bring the mail to me, but he came in on purpose into my office to bring it back. So from there, we decided that it was a good thing.
Wow. Thank you, honey. That's so fun.
And so you're in Indiana now?
Yes, so, Indiana.
But
not
you were
far from my home.
Oh. You were here in Hawaii after you graduated from the university.
I was. I stayed there for probably, probably about eight or nine years I was in Hawaii.
And you taught at a couple of our schools. What were your, just in case some of your students are listening today, what were you teaching?
When I was at McKinley, I was helping out with the hearing impaired students. And I also taught gifted and talented math and science students English on a special assignment that we met on Saturdays.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so they were super students, super high, but English was their second language, and so we worked on language skills.
Wow.
And then at Punahou, I taught ninth grade English, and I had summer sessions of that, and the students were all amazing because they were taking ninth grade English during the summer so that they could take a higher English class when they were actually freshmen.
Mm.
So they were super students.
Wow, wow.
And Lonnie, she was also honored as the Athlete of the Year at the Eagle Aloha Bowl along with Charlie Wiedemeyer.
Wow.
I think that was 1989. Does that sound right, honey?
That is exactly right. And that was a huge blessing to get to know the Wiedemeyer family. Mm. And, that's humbling. He's mm-hmm. quite the inspiration, and his whole family. So that was amazing.
Mm-hmm. We're here today with Kathleen Bimal-Cruz. What an amazing miracle story. Told that she couldn't walk after a cheerleading accident left her paralyzed. But what an amazing story of God's love and her persistence toward God, and how even the smallest disability can be an opportunity if we look at the possibilities that God has for us each and every day. To be thankful for what we do have and not what we've lost. We're going to talk a lot more about that. What's Kathleen, what you're doing today. I find it fascinating. You're raising cattle. And stick with us. It's a great story, a great testimony of God's love.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha Lani Ka'a'a here in studio for Danny Yamashiro. I'm joined by my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, and our special guest today, Kathleen Bimal-Cruz. Kathleen was a University of Hawaii cheerleader in the mid-80s, went on to be a teacher at both McKinley and Punahou, and then returned to the mainland and where she lives now in Indiana with her husband. And, you know, in the last segment, we talked a lot about your injury and that miraculous recovery and being able to walk again. But the doctor also told you you would probably struggle to ever have children again. Tell us how that worked, how that was for you.
At the time, I know this sounds kind of weird, but at the time, I thought, well, probably nobody wants to marry me anyway since I'm handicapped, wow. Right? I mean, and so I thought, well, I probably won't have kids, or if I ever do get married, maybe I'll marry someone who already has children. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't too upset about it then. I was in my 20s. I thought, oh, there's some other options.
Yeah.
But then, of course, when you fall in love with someone, and what one of the wonderful things about Michael is that he's very family-oriented, and we decided that we wanted children and we wanted to be close to our parents so that we could have, you know, family and grandparents and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually had a miscarriage on the first try, and I thought, oh no, this miracle might not happen. But, you know, I just prayed about it, and as soon as it could happen, it happened again, and I was blessed with a daughter, and her name is Sienna Sky Lonnie.
Wow.
And mm-hmm. people would ask me her name, and I wanted to be something special, and I say Sienna is the color of soil, and so she's Sienna Sky, which is earth and sky, or I say my heaven and earth.
Wow.
And then 13 months later, I had a son.
Wow.
His name is Kenton, and he is named for Simon Kenton, who was a frontiersman. And if you talk about tenacity, that guy had it. He was captured by Native Americans and sent through the gauntlet, and he survived.
Mm.
And they sent him through the gauntlet again, which is like a human tunnel where they beat you up.
Wow.
And he survived it again, and so they took him from village to village and let other villages beat him up.
Mm.
And finally, they stripped him down, and they'd run through these gauntlets, they'd nurse him back to health, and then run him through another one. And he finally stripped down and ran through a gauntlet and kept running and escaped.
Mm.
So that guy was pretty awesome. Wow. But anyway, he's named for Simon Kenton. And Simon Kenton is famous in Kentucky and tried to buy Ohio from the Indian named Tecumseh. So he's his name, there's Simon and Kenton counties all over this area.
Mm. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. And how do you think, you know, you're raising your children, what has your testimony, your life testimony, how has that impacted your children?
You know what? It's awesome. Every morning on their way to school, when they were in elementary school, every single morning we would say a morning prayer. And it would be short, but it would be, thank you for our many blessings. Please let us be good, kind, and honest and do our best in everything we try using the abilities that you've given us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would say a special prayer for, you know, someone or something that we knew needed a special prayer. And if ever I was stressed out and, you know, made the lunches late or forgot the library books and had to go back or whatever, they would remind me. They'd say, Mom, morning prayer. And so that was just a really important part of our growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And still today, whenever every Sunday morning, I write, Dear God, and they write me back on a text, Amen, because I know they're going to say the rest of it.
Mm, so good.
Oh, I love that.
So good. You know, I was reading your biography, and it says you now have two collegiate athlete children.
Yes.
What are their sports, and how are
they
doing?
Well, believe it or not, Sienna ran track and cross country.
Wow.
Poor little thing. She ran through injuries as well, but she's a tough little tiny thing, 100-pound blonde little girl.
Wow.
And then Kenton plays baseball. He played football, baseball, and basketball. He's got a separated shoulder, a torn hamstring, and quite a few other concussions and other injuries. But he's a very good baseball player, and I'm super proud of both of them. And like I said, blessings everywhere.
Do you ever have any moments when you fear they may get hurt?
When Kenton got his concussion, I knew it right away. I knew it before. He played the rest of the game, of course. But I knew. I knew as soon as it happened, I said, I think my son has a concussion. Mm. My daughter, yes, there was one race that she ran where I knew she was really in pain, and she did not finish as well as she would have liked. And I said, honey, are you okay? And she said, I almost quit, Mom. And I said, I thought you were going to. And she said, no, I wanted to finish, but I almost quit. Mm. So, yeah, I think you can tell when your kid is not themselves, you know, when they're not themselves, I should say. But they're awesome, and they are super considerate of my situation. Mm-hmm. If there's something that I can't reach or something that's going to be difficult for me to carry, they lend an arm if, to help me walk if I don't have any way to stabilize myself. When they were little, I used to say human post, and they'd stand real rigid and I'd put my hands on their heads and walk down like a step or a, you know, yeah. whatever, something. And the other day, my daughter and I were doing something, and she was watching me. I was putting gas in the car. And when I got back in the car, she said, Mom, she was laughing. And she said, I had no idea that you had so much trouble pulling the credit card out of the machine. Because my fingers don't work 100%. So I couldn't get that card out. I had to use both hands and press them together as tight as I could to pull the card out. And she said, I had no idea, Mom. I had no idea.
Wow. Kathleen, it's an amazing hour we've just had, how quickly that went by. We have about 30 seconds really left, and I'd like to ask if you would be willing to pray, especially those who are needing a miracle today and waiting on the Lord for that miracle.
You would like for me to say the prayer?
Sure.
Okay. Dear God, I just want to thank you for the many blessings that you've given to me and to the people who love you. I ask that you hear our hearts and our prayers, and where a miracle is needed, I ask that you step in and make that miracle happen for your faithful. Please continue to watch over us, continue to bless us, and continue to help us be better people so that you can be proud of who we are. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Kathleen, thank you so much for sharing your story. We wish you the very best in health and with your children and your husband and all the endeavors you have.
Thank you so much, Lonnie. I sure appreciate it.
Yeah, and come back to Hawaii sometime.
I want to say I love the people of Hawaii, and I would love to come back sometime.
Yeah.
The airport to pick you up, honey. Just tell me where.
Okay. I'll hold you to it.
Thank you, Kathleen. These are inspiring words from our guest today, Kathleen Bimal-Cruz. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, today is the perfect day, the perfect moment to open up your heart to Jesus Christ. Receive him. He's knocking. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com and click on Get to Know Jesus. He is your miracle worker. To help us with your financial support, make a donation, and especially your prayers, visit thegoodlifehawaii.com and click on Partners. Ephesians 3:20-21 says, Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. It is always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Kathleen Bimal-Cruz for her testimony. Until next time, along with my co-host and guest coordinator, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Lani Ka'a'a for Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.